the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hello, my name's Alex, and today I'm here to talk about Matthew, the story so far. Most of you will know we've spent the whole year looking through the whole book of Matthew. So thinking about our journey through the book of Matthew, and today on our big day of sport, I thought if I was to relate it to a sport, it's a bit like a long race. It's a bit like a half marathon. So to help us today to recap the story, we're going to look at it like a half marathon, like the Great West Run. And we're going to consider key themes that we looked at over the year, like they are stages of the race. We're also going to use our artwork to help us, as each picture represents a key theme that we learned about. But as you might have noticed, the artwork is all covered up at the moment. So that's going to make it a bit more challenging. In a bit, I've got two adult helpers, Jack and Rachel, who are going to help us to uncover the pictures as we go, so that at each stage of the race, we'll have a look at the picture that illustrates what we've learned. But first, we need a map, which is what we've got there. That's the route that some of you will know that the runners ran this morning in the Great West Run. So we've got that, we're all warmed up, we're ready for a run. Now it's time for the first stage of the race. And for this, I'd like you all to think way back to the start of the year and think, what was the first theme we looked at in the book of Matthew? What was the first bit of the jigsaw puzzle in Matthew? What did Jesus say to the fishermen? Just turn to the person next to you and spend 30 seconds saying what you think the theme was, and what the picture was, and even the verse, if you remember it. Ready, steady, go! So if we can have a look, see if anybody got it right. Well done if you did. It was, follow me. That's the first stage of our race. Matthew 4:19, where Jesus says, follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. He's talking to the fishermen, and he's basically saying, follow me and I'll use you to help build God's family. If you think of that as part of our race around Exeter, and you follow the red line on our map, that takes us down the high street, across the river, and just into St. Thomas. Anybody live around there? Give us a wave if you do. Well done. So that's stage one. Jesus says, follow me. Now, can everyone remember what our next theme was? I think there might have been a house involved. Again, just turn to the person next to you and say what you think that was about. Helpers, please can you carefully uncover the next picture? See if you got it right. Well done if you did. That is the second stage of our race, Build on Rock. This is where Jesus told us the story about the wise and the foolish builders. The wise man built his house on the rock, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the storm came, the house on the sand got washed away. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 24, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. That takes us all the way through deepest and darkest Exwick, almost out to Burnerville's Garden Centre, but then we turn back and head towards Cowley Bridge. Give us a wave if you live around there. Anybody? No. Yay! That's stage two, build on rock. What about our next picture? I think there were some crosses on this one. Again, 30 seconds, turn to the person next to you, see if you can remember what it was and what it meant. Shall we have a look, see if you got it right? I think we might need someone to replace Jack. He's not very good. Well done if you got that right. Stage three is take up your cross. On our map, that takes us right out to Stoke Woods, and then we turn around and head back towards Exeter. Anyone live around there? Probably not. That's stage three. Matthew 10, verse 38. Jesus says, "Unless you're willing to take up your cross and follow in my steps, you're not fit to be my disciples." And that was really challenging when we learnt that Jesus calls us to follow him through thick and thin, no matter what the cost, even if that means sacrificing certain things. We're going to move across the room now, and we're going to think about the next picture. Now, can anybody remember this one? There were some flowers on this one, I think. Again, turn to the person next to you and have a think. I think some people have got there. I'm not sure why we put Jack over there now, because I think we need to be particularly careful when we take this one down. Well done. Stage four of our race is produce a crop. This is Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. And he says in Matthew 13, verse 23, the seed falling on the ground... the seed falling on the good soil refers to people who hear the word and understand it. They produce a crop yielding 100, 60 or 30 times what was sown. Meaning, if we understand and hear God's word, we'll be fruitful. We'll produce a harvest for God much greater than we could expect. That takes us down around the university, past Duryard and Burke Student Halls, where lots of students live. Almost near the train station, but then back around the university. Anybody live around there? Give us a wave. Three. Right. That's stage four. Produce a crop. Only two more pictures to go now. Now, I think the next one might be a bit difficult to remember. I think it might have been set on a beach, perhaps. Share with the person next to you what you think it was and what it meant. Okay, shall we have a look, Jack? See if we remembered it. Well done. Lose your life. That's an interesting one. Matthew 16, verse 25, where Jesus says, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Well, what did that mean? We learned, didn't we? If we live selfishly, if we try and live for ourselves, we'll actually miss out on life because we miss out on a relationship with God. But if we lose our life, meaning if we give our life to him, we actually end up finding life in all its fullness in a close relationship with God. That's stage five of our race. It takes us up past the rest of the university, then down Old Tiverton Road, past the football stadium just over there, but we don't quite reach Belmont. We turn out and heads towards Pin Ho. Wave if you live around there. Well, loads of people, great. That's stage five, lose your life. This is a long way, isn't it? But we're on our last picture now, and I wanted you just to think again, for the last time, turn to the person next to you, see if you can remember this one. I think there might have been a woman involved in this picture. Okay, Jack, let's have a look. Keep watch. Well done if you remember that. Matthew 25, verse 13. Jesus talking about his return. He says, "Keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Meaning, be properly prepared for when Jesus returns, because it could be any time. And the picture is of a woman waiting for the bridegroom to arrive so they can go into the wedding feast. That's stage six of the race. It takes us all the way out to Pin Ho Sainsbury's until we turn around and come back towards Exeter. If you live around that part of Exeter, give us a wave. A couple of people. Wow, there we go. A big well done to you if you remembered all those pictures. Thank you so much to our helpers and to those people that produce those amazing artwork. Can we give them a round of applause? They're brilliant, aren't they? I hope you found that helpful as a way of reminding ourselves what we've looked at so far this year. Maybe when you find yourself in those different parts of the city, be it at home or at school or work or relaxing, you remember what picture we thought about in that place and be reminded about what we learned. However, those of you with good eyesight might have noticed we haven't quite finished the race. We're still stuck out on Pin Ho Road. There's still a bit more to go. We haven't got to the finish line in Matthew yet. There's still a few chapters left. What's that going to be about? Well, what I'd like to do is to come back to this a little bit later on in the service, after we've seen some clues for what we've got to come in Matthew. Right, well, we're almost at the end of our service now, but I wanted to quickly share with you what we've still got to go in our long run through the book of Matthew, the final stage of our race that'll take us to the finish line and our memory verse for the year, obey everything I've commanded you. And this is my favourite bit of Matthew, and I didn't want to leave it out because it kind of makes sense of all the other bits, because this is where we see just how much God loves us. We should have a good idea what's going to happen in the final chapters, because Jesus already told us back in Matthew 20, verses 18 and 19, where he said, "We are going to Jerusalem, and I will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will sentence me to death and will hand me over to the Romans to be mocked, whipped, and crucified. And on the third day, I'll be raised to life." And we saw that in communion, didn't we? We remembered it. And we'll get to sing about that later. And our last thing that we'll look at in Matthew is the king and his cross. Jesus loves us so much, he's going to Jerusalem, even though he knows he's going to be humiliated, mocked, beaten up, and then killed in the most horrific way on the cross. And the reason he goes through with it, we've learned, is to take the punishment for all the wrong things we've done. He does it to save us because he loves us. And this year we've been focusing on crowning Jesus King, obeying all his commands and living for him. And we thought about in the drama how we might say Jesus is our king, but we don't act like it in everyday life. And maybe one reason for that is because we don't know, or maybe we've just forgotten how much we are loved by the King. We can say the words maybe, but we don't believe them in our hearts. There's a song that says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." And maybe going forward, the more we know deep down just how much Jesus loves us, the more radical we'll be in living for him and crowning him king. That will just naturally flow from knowing more of his great love for us. We'll naturally want to follow him and produce a crop, bringing others into God's loving family. We'll want to build on rock and take up our cross, following his teaching no matter what the cost. We'll want to give him our lives and be ready for his return. Not because we're trying to earn his love, but because we already know he loves us so much. And finally, if we recommit to that today, to crowning Jesus King in all those ways that we've learned, but then we go on to mess up and we fail. It's not like in sport where if sometimes we fail, you get people saying, "You're no good and you should just quit," like we see with the England coach saying, "You should just quit." When we mess up, God's not like that. He loves us so much. Nothing can make God love us any less, even if we mess up. God loves us just the same and is always rooting for us to keep going, to keep striving to crown Jesus King. I'd like to invite Johnny and the band back up now, and they're going to close our service in song. And I pray as we sing to finish, we'll be reminded afresh how much we are loved by the King. And that will motivate us going forward to keep on crowning Jesus King in every part of our lives.